Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reactions to pertinent current events will help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. So let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. All right, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thanks for joining me. Bear's going to say hello right off the bat. That's awesome. Well, that's what you get when you do your podcast from a home studio. Get a little bit of interference from the kids. And the dog and the cat, Pebbles, everybody. Anyway, thanks for joining me here on Real Liberty Media, live every Wednesday and Saturday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I appreciate you guys chiming in. Hey, and if you're the first to call tonight, you're going to get a Redneck Dentist t-shirt. Well, basically what's left of a Redneck Dentist t-shirt, because I'm trying to clear out my closet. And I got some stuff, you know, it's got holes in it, grease on it. You know, blood stains, grass stains, mud. But anyway, yeah, go ahead and give me a call. You'll be the first one to receive that item. Okay, I'm kidding about that. I'm not going to send you one of my dirty old t-shirts. This is a joke. Hey, really love that song, Happy. It put me in a really good mood. I was really kind of jamming to get to showtime. And of course, I was a little bit late, sort of. I mean, I started right on time, but as you notice, I played a little music to, you know, kind of get settled in. So now I'm settled in, I think. I have a few updates for around the homestead here. As you know, about 2 weeks ago, we added bees. No, it was actually 1 week ago, last Wednesday, while I was doing the show live. My beekeeper friend showed up and placed 4 bee boxes with 4 queens. And 4 swarms all loaded up. He checked on them yesterday. I got a report that the bees are happy. They seem like they're doing their thing. So that's going to be a success here. And I am absolutely loving the idea of having our own honey right off the property and the surrounding area. I didn't really know this. But bees will cover about a 3-mile radius from their bee box. Or hive, I guess, if they're in a hive. So that's kind of cool. And actually, so I was thinking my office is like 3 miles from here. That's actually 3 road miles, so it's probably only about 2 miles. So probably some of the bees I'll see down when I'm in town and stuff could be bees from my own bee boxes here. Anyway, excited about that. I'm glad it's going well. We are in for some crazy weather for Oregon. This is actually kind of hard to believe. So today, when I came home, it was 63. It's still currently sunny. The sun hasn't set yet. It's about 6:10 p.m. Pacific time. And, you know, we still have some daylight left, a couple hours before sunset. And it's like 63, 64 degrees, sunny, blue sky, beautiful. Yesterday, it was like hailing, damn near thunderstorms, wind gusting to 50 miles an hour. I mean, there was grapple, there was hail, there was rain, there was sunshine. It was crazy yesterday. Tomorrow is going to be about 70, let's say 75. We'll give them a little bit of play. They say 78, so I'll say 75. Sunny and warm. It's just going to be an absolutely beautiful day, which means, of course, we have kind of extended time to get seeds and stuff in the garden, which we have been doing. Give you a little update on that in just a minute. But come this weekend, it is going to be cold and rainy with snow in the foothills. Now it's like, you know, for historical purposes, when people listen to this podcast later, it's mid-April here in Oregon, and not in the mountains of Oregon, kind of just above the valley. I'm about 1,000 feet, so I kind of expect Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, we're probably going to see snow at some point in one of those 3 days. But that's kind of crazy, going from 78 tomorrow or 75 to, you know, snow. It won't stick. In fact, they're calling for the temperature to only go down to about 33. So, you know, it won't be sticky snow. It'll probably be a wet snow. But it'll be crazy for mid-April to have snow here in the Valley of Oregon. So with the extended daylight, you know, days are not getting longer. We're just getting longer amounts of sunshine. We've been able to get more plants in the ground. We had about 200 strawberry plants that we were moving from the upper compound down into the garden. And we have about 100 of them moved, so we've got about 100 more to go. We do have some peas in the ground. They'll be starting any time now. Who knows now with this weather? It's kind of crazy. We did kind of push it a little bit, but I think peas, snow peas, and snap peas, sugar peas, I think they'll do okay, really. I don't think they'll get frozen out. But if they do, I mean, you know, we started early, so we just start over with some of those things. Not a big deal. Yeah, so bees, weather, and strawberries, that was the big three things I wanted to kind of bring everybody up to date on about what's going on the homestead here. I am going to revisit windows a little bit, and I'll tell you guys why. This is the funniest thing. And for those of you who are kind of into computers, you already know this. But whenever somebody comes to me and ask me if I could help them with their computer, my first suggestion is to get rid of Windows. Always. 100% of the time. I'm like, hey, are you married to that Windows operating system? Because, I mean, really, that's your problem. But, you know, it's so funny. People are so, like, it's so hard to get people to try something new, which is kind of crazy, because if you think about it, at some point, using Windows was new. Like, you had to learn to use Windows. You had to learn to use a computer. I mean, kids nowadays grow up with, you know, phones and tablets and, you know, different operating systems. I was asking somebody the other day, you know, if they study computer science in high school or whatever, and they go, no. I said, well, do you learn to type? You know, I got that kind of funny look, and it was like, well, we have a keyboarding class. Oh, yeah, it's called keyboarding now, not typing. Interesting. But, I mean, it is true. You know, it is a keyboard, not a typewriter. So, yeah, there's a big difference there. But, yeah, man, especially like, really, my goal would be that nobody uses Windows so that they would never come to me and ask me to fix it. But anyway, somebody did come to me with a Windows laptop that was running really slow and sluggish. And, you know, they asked me if I could help them. And, of course, I was all about, you know, having them try out Linux. And, you know, yeah, that went over it wasn't horrible, but it was like, you know, people don't want to give up what they have to try something new. Even though I know 100% they would be happier with Linux. I know some of you watch in the chat room, which if you listen live, if you join us on Real Liberty Media, you can get in the chat room, chat live while I'm on the air. You can chat with other people in the chat room. Some of you who are regulars in there, you know I say when I'm going to reboot, you see how long it takes me to reboot this Linux computer. It does not take long. I'll bet I'd be willing. I know it's 100% in under 2 minutes, and probably it's about a minute. And then So the computer that was brought to me, being a Windows computer that was having issues, and one of the issues was, you know, it takes so long to do anything, I knew I was going to be in for it. So, you know, I sat down with this Windows computer on my lap, and I started doing the stuff that I know to do, which I am not a great wizard at fixing stuff. As a matter of fact, I'm probably kind of more of a demolitionist when it comes to fixing stuff, because I figure, hey, if you want me to fix this, I'm going to get rid of all the crap on it that you don't need. Like, if it's not absolutely necessary, and this person, I mean, it is actually her work computer, so it wasn't just for play or gaming or music. She actually is a real estate agent, and she has to do a lot of stuff on that computer. And I asked her, well, are there any, like, did you have to download and install any specific apps or software to do what you do? And she said no. So, I mean, right there, it's like, okay, then why are you using Windows? I mean, number one, every couple of years, you're going to have to go buy new Windows. Because Windows is in this kind of process now where they only support their, you know, most recent version for a few years before they want you to move up to the next one. And then pretty soon you got to get a new laptop because your old laptop doesn't have the hardware that the new Windows version requires. And of course, remember, Linux is always free. 100% operating system free. 100% free operating system. So anyway, sat down with the Windows computer and, you know, did my thing with it. You know, and it was running, like, I thought it was running pretty good. So I was like, okay, well, I mean, it took some time, you know, to sit down and clean up a bunch of stuff, but we're done. So hopefully she was in Las Vegas for a something. I don't know. Maybe for fun. I don't know. But she came back today. I guess she's coming back today, so I'll get a report on if that computer is any faster or what. But my point was, you know, it's kind of funny to be versed in fixing computers. It's actually really fun to be versed in Linux so that you can just, like, make fun of people who use Windows and come ask you for help. I don't, though. I'm pretty nice about it, but I do promote Linux every chance I get, and, you know, it's fun when people make that conversion, and then they wonder why, you know, everybody isn't doing it, especially if you're a small businessman. If you're a small business, if you're a contractor or something like that, and you have that, you know, you really should be running Linux. Quit supporting the operating system that continually screws you. And you guys all know how I feel about that and what's gone on lately, so I won't bore you any further with that. I did want to talk about a couple things that I've been trying to encourage just in my own family. So I went and did some research on the effects of blue light, because I hear about blue light all the time. And now they have blue blocker glasses that you can buy that, you know, help prevent blue light from hitting your eyes. Because one of the things that blue light does is it reduces the amount of melatonin that your body produces. I wanted to make sure I got that right. Yeah, melatonin. It reduces the amount of melatonin. It's a hormone that your body produces so that you sleep and you sleep well. And it kind of helps regulate your circadian rhythm, which is a 24-hour cycle that we all live by. And for whatever reason, blue light affects that. Well, guess what? Blue light today is in everything. Even they say, like, a regular light bulb has a certain amount of blue light that can affect your sleep pattern and your production of melatonin. So a lot of systems now, like computer systems, cell phones, tablets, TVs, they have a red shift, they call it, or a blue light, you know, protection. So you can actually go into your device, go in the settings, look for this blue light, or called red shift sometimes, and reduce the amount of blue light you're getting, especially later in the day, so that, you know, you sleep well and you're not screwing with your, you know, natural production of hormones that help you sleep and be healthy. Oh, but there was a couple other things. I have to bring this up, so, because I realized I didn't read enough of this article before I made my notes, so I wanted to go back and do that. Okay, so let me see. What was it? I'm just going to read a little bit right out of this article. This article comes from Harvard. Somebody at Harvard wrote it, Harvard. Although it is environmentally friendly, blue light can affect your sleep and potentially cause disease. Until the advent of artificial lighting, the sun was a major source of lighting, and people spent their evenings in relative darkness. Now in much of the world, evenings are illuminated, and we take our easy access to all those lumens pretty much for granted. But we may be paying a price for basking in all that light. At night, light throws the body's biological clock, the circadian rhythm, out of whack. Sleep suffers. Worse, research shows that it may contribute to the causation of cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and obesity. And anyway, so they went on to describe how they made some of these connections between blue light and those diseases and the lack of melatonin production. So, like, one of the things that I did about 20 years ago, because I was really addicted to video games. Like, I like to play video games now. One sec, gotta wet the whistle. Like, I like to play video games now, but I'm not addicted to video games. As a matter of fact, lately, I haven't been able to play enough. Because it's time, man. It's busy time. You know, and it seems like there's a lot of... It seems like there's a lot of threat to future food consumption in our lives. And I want to make sure to stem as much of that as I can by doing as much as we can to produce our own food, which we're doing, as you know if you listen to previous shows. But, I mean, now it's time. Springtime. So... You know, the chickens are laying more eggs. We have the meat chickens going. We are going to start hatching our own meat chickens here pretty quick. And, you know, we'll no longer buy chickens from a supplier, which is okay. Nothing wrong with that. But it just kind of makes sense. You know, if things are going to get really ugly, if you have your own and you can reproduce your own chicken and, you know, have your own meat so you know what went into that meat, like hormones or antibiotics or whatever. We don't use any of that stuff. But, you know, it's just, that's the thing. It's busy. So I don't really have time to sit around and play video games. Although, I got to tell you guys this. This was so fun. Last weekend I was watching NASCAR and Sammy came in. Sammy's going to be 7 here pretty quick. And he wanted to play a video game because he knows the console is in the man cave here in the studio. And he just asked if he could play the game. And I was like, well, Sammy, I'm watching the race because NASCAR was on. So he said, oh, can I come in and watch? And I said, yeah, come on in and sit down. And so he's watching NASCAR and, you know, he's kind of getting it that they're racing. And, you know, it's real colorful. And I'm explaining things to him. And I said, oh, well, Sammy, I actually have the NASCAR video game. And he was like, you do? And I go, yeah, I do. I said, so after, you know, this week, we'll break it out and play it. Well, so last night when I got home, he came in and he said, hey, Papa, can we play that car game? And I was like, oh, yeah. I said, yeah, that's a good idea. Because, you know, he's young. And they don't play video games all the time, so this is all kind of new to him and stuff. And so I set the game up and I said, okay, let's see where the NASCAR guys are going to be racing this week. And I think they're going to be in Martinsville. And I said, okay, let's bring up the Martinsville track. This is the track that these guys are going to be racing on this week. And then Sammy got on there and ran a couple laps, in practice. And then he tried to qualify and ended up at the back of the field. And then he entered the race, which is, I think, 4, 5, 6 laps, something like that. Pretty short race anyway. But anyway, so he did that. And it was pretty fun because he just wanted to slam into everybody on the track, which was pretty funny. And then, you know, one of the other grandsons came in and wanted to do it. And then the other grandson came in and wanted. So I just got to sit back and watch the three grandsons take their shot at the NASCAR track. And that was a pretty good time. Jubilee didn't come in, or she would also probably wanted to play, which would have been cool. But she just didn't. But anyway, so that was fun. And my point was, I'm not able to play as much as I'd like to play because I choose to prepare for my future and my family's future here on the homestead. There will be time for playing, trust me. I do. I get enough time playing. I like the tractor. I believe the tractor is as much fun as anything else I do, to be honest with you. So if I get some tractor time any day, it's play time. And then even like doing the garden, man, it's been so satisfying to know that we are doing something to help ourselves and probably others down the road. And it's very satisfying. I wouldn't really call that so much play, but anyway, I am getting enough play time. I don't know if I mentioned before, I'm playing Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, which is hilarious. It's a first-person shooter game, animated, a lot of color, a lot of fun, just crazy stuff. And she's kind of sassy, so it's kind of fun to have her guiding the playtime. Tiny Tina, that is, a fictional character in the game. Anyway, on to the crazy world we live in. Walt Disney Company is expanding its operations in at least 10 explicitly anti-gay countries and regions. I mean, if this is not the height of hypocrisy, I don't know what is. You know, to come down on Florida, DeSantis, for having this law that they don't want, teachers talking to 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds in private about gender identification and not telling the parents, but yet they're doing business in countries that will, like, cut your head off for being gay, for being a homosexual, for being transgender. They have severe crimes and punish people severely for those identities and those behaviors. Man, Disney, I hope people catch on and, start leaving you left and right. I really do. I can dream. It's okay. By the way, I titled this Goofy Can't Even Explain This. I should have read that first. In countries like Saudi Arabia, where there is no formalized criminal code, homosexuals and transgender individuals are punished in far more draconian ways. These punishments include expensive fines, chemical castration, and executions. Wow, Disney. Good job, man. Disney's joined that group of disappointing companies for me. I remember, I'm 64, I remember watching Disney on Sunday night. It was like a thing. Like, the family would gather around and watch the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful world of Disney. And sometimes they would have a movie, sometimes it was a show or a documentary like on cougars or wildlife or something. And it was, I think, at least the way I remember it today, it was entertaining. It was educational. It was enjoyable, but we don't. But the, that's not my take on Disney today. As a matter of fact, you know, it doesn't really make that much sense. But Disney says they're going to put, they're going to have 50% of their content is going to be geared toward transgender, gay, LGBTQ, all of that stuff. Or that it's going to have that 50% of the people in their, you know, productions are going to be whatever. Which doesn't make sense because there's such a minute segment of the population who actually identifies as any of those things that, you know, Disney shouldn't really tilt the scale so far in that one direction. But they've chosen to do it. Be interesting to see how they end up dealing with these countries who kill people for being gay, that's for sure. All right, and as we've all known all along, the National Institute of Health, you know, hid the genetics of, let's see, National Institute for Health spokesperson is disputing a nonprofit watchdog group's claim that the agency deleted genetic sequencing data on the CCP virus from a Chinese lab, but the same official acknowledged that the data was suppressed. So basically what they did, they relabeled their genetic data so that if you went to look for it, you couldn't actually find it unless you looked for it in a specific way. And then you could find it. Now Pebbles is going to join the show. She wants to get involved. It's on the desk, going to tear up my notes, especially when I'm reading them. Anyway, so they changed the label in June 2020 in response to a request by the same Wuhan researcher. National Center for Biotechnology gave the sequence data the status of withdrawn, which removes sequencing data from all public means of access, but didn't actually delete that data. Then a little later, they changed it from withdrawn to suppressed, which means you could find their data and identify their viruses if you used an accession number. So basically, NIH, of course, as we all have known, people who are aware, people who go in search of knowledge instead of just listening to the mainstream media's ridiculous cover-up for every single thing that I guess leads to socialism. I guess that's the goal. I guess MSN is in the socialism pool and wants everybody to be socialist or communist, and they'll do everything they can to make that happen. I mean, look at President Biden now. I think he's in jeopardy. I don't know. I doubt anything will come of it. But, you know, the stories that we heard about this laptop for 2 years, and that information had been suppressed for 2 years, and everybody was told that, you know, it's some kind of a you know, Russian cover-up or some propaganda that, you know, is obviously a fake. And here it is 2 years later, and everything that was said about that laptop is true and more. The scary thing is, if they do anything to Biden, or if he resigns, guess where we are? Oh, my God. Yeah, I can't even imagine what life is going to be like if that happens. But like I've said before, the problem is it takes so long to actually get anything done. Who knows if anything will come of this? Hey, but, and it's kind of funny, I didn't really concentrate on that story whatsoever this week as far as making my notes go for my show. But I did notice that like two former intelligence agents actually lied, like written signed affidavits lied about this whole thing. And I hope to hell that those people hang also. You know, because not only did they influence the election, but they lied about intelligence data. that was important for people to know. Now, why they lied, I mean, they had to have, they knew the truth. They knew Biden would be compromised by this truth. Why would they have suppressed that before the election? The only reason I can imagine is they didn't want Trump so badly that, you know, breaking some pretty serious laws was less harmful than letting Trump get reelected. And that is a sad state. That is a sad state of affairs when our own intelligence agencies are failing us, we the people. They're not working for us, that's for sure. They are working for somebody else. They are working for some other agenda. But, so that's the way it is. Anyway, we're going to take care of ourselves. We're going to be healthy. We're going to survive this for as long as we can survive it. Then we'll see what happens. I had some great, I ran into some great stories this week. One, I don't think I actually made notes for. Let me just flip through real quick. Oh, I'm sure I didn't, come to think of it. For some reason, I ended up on this Nature page. Well, you'll see why in just a minute. Pebbles wants to make sure I don't read this story. Ah, get away from here, you rotten cat. Anyway, did you guys know there's a kangaroo the size of a rabbit in Australia? Like, I didn't know that. I mean, maybe at some point, okay, I'm thinking of a kangaroo rat. Like, I've heard of a kangaroo rat before, but I never actually knew that there was a kangaroo the size of a rabbit. That's kind of cool. I think it'd be cuddly. Maybe not. It'd probably kick the crap out of you. The reason that I ran into that story, and I have to skip a couple and then come back. I hate it when I do that. Turn the page. This is why. This was the craziest story. I came across a story about a frog. I have to bring this up because I got to get the name of this frog, man. It was, you know, sometimes you're just reading stuff. And you come across some gems, and you're just like, oh, this is really a good story. So here's the deal. So this frog, it says, the Caribbee frogs hop back into the snowy mountains. And it says 100 southern Corroboree frogs, a critically endangered Australian frog species, have returned to their native home in the Australian mountain range known as the Snowy Mountains. Now, that's not the story that I really went after. I mean, I wanted to see this because it's a cool-looking frog. Yeah, there'll be a link in the show notes. There's a cool-looking frog, and I was thinking, okay, well, I got to read this story about them reintroducing this frog. And really, because if you know me, I'm kind of like one of those people, hey, if the frog couldn't survive, you know, it probably isn't meant to survive. So you're going to reintroduce it and it's going to die again and you wasted a ton of money. So I wanted to see why this Corroboree frog was on the verge of extinction in the first place. This is where I thought the story got interesting. So it says drought, habitat degradation from other species, the 2019 to 2020 bushfires and a chytrid fungus outbreak pushed the Corroboree frog to the brink of extinction. According to the documentary by ABC, the chytrid fungus outbreak has wiped out multiple Australian frog species such as the southern day frog and the gastric brooding frog. The fungus attacks the hearts of frogs and salamanders and destroys their skin, has caused the decline of at least 500 amphibian species. That's pretty horrible, right? So where did this fungus come from? It says 90 of which have gone extinct or thought to be extinct. The origin of the fungus is thought to be the African clawed frog, a species that was spread globally after, listen to this, it was popularized in the 1930s by a scientist who discovered that it could be used as a pregnancy test, ABC reported in their documentary. So this African clawed frog, this is what you do. The origin of the fungus, oh, I read that. The pregnancy test involved injecting the urine of a possibly pregnant woman into a female African clawed frog, which would lay a clutch of eggs if the woman was pregnant. Isn't that crazy? Like, okay. I mean, you know, my Bachelor of Arts degree is in biology. And, you know, being a dentist, you had to do a lot of science and, you know, chemistry and biology and physio, all that stuff. I'm thinking to myself, who in the hell ever thought to inject a woman's, a potentially pregnant woman's urine into a frog? Oh my gosh. Seriously. Who did that? Uh-oh. What is going on here? Oh no, I'm good. Yeah, who would have thought about doing that? And then how did they come to the conclusion that the frog would lay eggs if the woman was pregnant? I mean, and then that was a positive test. And I kind of wonder, like, I wonder how long that took, really. But I didn't really go looking specifically for that information because I just thought that, number one, I thought it was cool. This Corroboree frog is a beautiful black and yellow frog that just is cool looking. And they're reintroducing that. But this fungus that killed them and so many hundred other species nearly to extinction, and some cases to extinction, came from this other frog that was used as a pregnancy test. And then everybody, of course, took these frogs all over the world. Hey, if you want to see if you're pregnant, just inject your urine in this frog. And if it lays eggs, you're pregnant. Oh, hang on. I wonder what the percent of false positives is on that test right there, poor little frog. You got to imagine, it can't, yeah, no, it just can't be good to have urine injected into you. Hell, I might lay eggs if somebody injected urine into me. Anyway, I thought that was a great little, I thought that was a great story. It really was. I have two other things I want to talk about as far as blue light goes or screen time. One is, of course, the reason I kind of wanted to cover this information now, not only for me and my family, but for everybody else too, is because, you know, the grandkids are getting to that point where they're spending a lot of time, you know, in front of screens. You know, school the last 2 years where they went, you know, totally, what was that, homeschooled or schooled through, you know, devices. What is that Google device? It doesn't matter. Google sent out a bunch of tablets for kids to use. And so they're spending a lot of time in front of these screens and they're getting exposed to a lot of blue light. And oftentimes, and believe me, this was not my doing by any means, but the 12-year-old has his own cell phone. And I go by that room at night and I see him laying in bed with the lights out and this damn blue screen staring him right in the face. And then, you know, he brags to people that he can stay up all night long or he can stay up till 4 o'clock, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, yeah, because you're screwing with your brain by using the phone. And yeah, trust me, I know I sound like my parents when I was young, but I'm just going by the data, the real science here. And they've also actually found out that kids who spend too much time in front of screens also have aggression problems and suicidal ideation. In other words, they think about suicide, or it can. I mean, not everybody. Because I remember this whole thing going back to video games when they said, oh, it's violent video games that are making people kill people. No, that's not it at all. 100% not it. Because a bajillion of us have played first-person shooter video games and don't go out and kill people like a first-person shooter in a video game. You know, some people are, you know, can take it for what it is. It's entertainment. Play the game. When you're done with the game, you're not playing the game anymore. Life isn't like that. You don't shoot somebody and then they get up, and or you don't get shot and you get up and, you know, you go on. Video games aren't like that. But it's interesting to see now how spending time doing these activities can affect children. Actually, and adults too. There was a story amongst all of the stuff I was reading about blue light where people who are in gaming, like not video gaming, but gaming as in casinos and betting, those people actually have the same effects that people who play video games have. They also have ideas, spend time thinking. Not all people, but it can lead to thinking about suicide, thinking about how lousy your life is. And yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, I think the polite way to say this is I don't make enough money to go give it to a casino. I just don't. Or maybe the only time I remember actually gambling, I went to the Black Hills of South Dakota. Oh, yeah, Deadwood, South Dakota. They actually still had, when I went there, they actually still had coins that dropped. So I was like, oh, now that would be fun if you hit a jackpot and, like, and you know, like in a nickel machine, if you hit, like, a $1,000 jackpot, the nickels just keep flowing. Yeah, that was pretty fun. I did win a couple hundred. I can't remember, but it was just so funny because the nickels just kept falling out of this machine. And somebody finally came over, like one of the attendants, and said and handed me a bucket. She was like, oh, yeah, you're going to need this. And it's a good thing because I had no idea. But, yeah, that was really cool. I really enjoyed that little bit of gambling. All right, two more things to cover here tonight. And again, thanks for joining me. I always appreciate you guys being here. And if you're listening on the podcast, I appreciate you spending time and showing your love one way or another. It's always appreciated. There was some climate data recovered in the UK. And what was interesting about this climate data is like some of the results that came out of it. It says data taken from handwritten 130-year-old rainfall observations from MET, which is the UK's weather center. The MET Office Archives has revealed that extreme weather events are nothing new. United Kingdom's National Weather Service, the Met Office, published the data on Friday gained from millions of archived rainfall records. But long-standing environmentalism skeptics told the Epoch Times that this further undermines the case that climate change is driving extreme weather events. But that's not what they found at all. What they found was... basically, no, I gotta find it. I don't want to miss this. No, I'm screwing up now. Okay, so let's just go find this. Oh yeah, here it is, right here. The real data shows that we faced warmer, colder, wetter, drier, and windier conditions in the past, and that we grew better at coping with these challenges. So So what was crazy is they took all of this data that was handwritten. They had about, I don't know, 2,000 volunteers go through this handwritten data and actually convert it to digital so that they could use it to, like, you know, feed through their programs and kind of find out, well, what was life like? You know, what was the weather like? What was the hottest month and the coldest month and the wettest month and the driest month? You know, and what year was it? And was it during the industrial age or not? Like, was it before we started creating greenhouse gases or not? You know, this is the craziest thing. But y'all know, I remember I got cataract surgery a couple months ago. I've been sitting here reading all this stuff without my glasses on. That's crazy, because now I kind of feel like I need them, but I'm like, oh, well, I haven't had them for all this time, so I guess I don't really need them. Okay, so the last story of the day, gotta find the beginning of it. Now that I've flipped through every freaking page I have. Okay, here we go. So, I always like to just keep people informed on, you know, the hazards of green energy, because there are some. And people just don't understand that green energy is no greener than fossil fuel. It truly isn't. I think in the long run, we are going to find that we do as much damage preparing to, you know, suck the energy out of the sun and convert it to energy we can use in our houses and cars. We're going to find that we do as much damage to the environment. I mean, you know, there's some laws that govern the world, and it's like, I mean, to govern nature in general. And it's like, you know, nothing is free. You're not going to get free energy. You're just not going to get, well, maybe there might be some people out there who know how to get free energy. But before you can convert those sun rays to energy, you got to dig up a lot of minerals, man. You got to mine a lot of the earth. And what are you mining the earth with? You think you're mining the earth with an electric earth mover? An electric backhoe? You know, the rig that we just bought recently, the Tuatara, you know, they had an electric version and they had a gas version, and we compared them side by side. The damn electric version had no power for, like, plowing, for digging, for dumping, compared to the gas. The gas version's 10 times better, at the very least, 10 times better. As a 13-gallon tank, and goes for a heck of a long time. And not so much the electric one. So you know they're not mining all this stuff with electric vehicles. They're mining this stuff with fossil-fueled vehicles, big, giant mining vehicles, big, giant dump trucks that can haul, you know, hundreds of thousands of pounds of material to a plant so they can extract what little tiny material they can to put in car batteries and solar panels and everything else. Well, now they're finding that these giant solar arrays that the government, you know, is leasing land for, you know, companies to put up these giant solar arrays. And think about this now. So a lot of those solar arrays are going where? Like, where do you think those solar fields would be going? Like, the most obvious answer is in the desert, right? Because there's no trees to block the sunlight. It's generally kind of flattish sort of ground. And there's a lot of sun, and it's dry. So you get maximum exposure, right? Well, guess what? Those big, giant panels create shade underneath them. shade that hasn't been there for hundreds or thousands of years. Now, do you think that shading the desert probably will affect the environment of that desert? Don't you think, like, they even haul water in to keep down the dust on some of the roads that they use to maintain these solar fields? We're talking solar fields that are thousands of acres. You know, like if you've been if you've been in Southern California and seen these wind farms, or if you've been along the Columbia Gorge highway in Oregon and Washington, and you travel east or west on 84, you see thousands of these wind turbines out there. They take up a gigantic amount of space. Well, these solar panel fields also take up a tremendous amount of space, and they have to be maintained. People have to go out there and do stuff to them to make sure they're working, to make sure they're rotating, following the sun, to make sure that they stay clean, that there's not debris covering them up, so they produce the most amount of energy, the maximum amount of energy that they can produce. And they take water out there and they water the roads to keep the dust down while they're driving. Well, so you have this water that isn't there naturally, normally. Then you have shade that isn't there normally. And you're going to have a whole new environment set up with whole new set of critters. I mean, maybe you're damaging the environment for critters that like hot, baking hot sand to crawl through and in and to make their lives in and around. And now you're providing these thousands of acres of shade. And the other thing is, they're finding that some of these solar fields that have been set up for years, the panels are just for, like, if horrible weather moves in, if there's if horrible weather comes in, if something comes in and destroys some panels, well, then you have all of the hazardous material that goes into making solar panels just decaying, rotting there on the desert floor. So just remember, man, this whole green energy thing, the truth is going to come out about it, just like the truth comes out about, you know, everything else. It may take some time, but it's going to happen. By the way, I thought it was awesome that Elon Musk bought part of Twitter. I don't do Twitter. And as a matter of fact, I'll tell you guys the truth. There are times I've thought, well, if I wanted to grow the Redneck Dennis podcast, I would have to get on these social media platforms. And I just refuse to do it. I just won't do it. Because that's not me. And that's not me, the Redneck Dennis. That's not me, the person. I don't want to compromise, you know, the way I live my life, because I'd like to have more people find the podcast. They'll find it. I do it for fun. So it doesn't matter to me if there's a million listeners or if there's five. It really doesn't. I mean, I see my numbers growing every week on the different platforms that I do put the Redneck Dennis Show on. But anyway, I was glad to see Elon Musk get on there. And man, I had to drive a bunch of those Twitter's crazy, because he's going to influence some change there. I know he is. It won't be everything that everybody wants. It won't be the ultimate, you know, free speech platform. But if it makes some changes so that, you know, people can still get like two sides of a story, that would be awesome. And I just thought it was fun to see. It was fun to see the people who work at Twitter get rattled a bit, because they couldn't believe that somebody was actually going to want the free speech platform to have free speech on it, and they can't have that. That's not what we intended when we made a free speech platform. The world is a crazy place, man. I love it. I'm still happy. I'm going to, you know, just try to keep a positive attitude no matter what. And I look forward to seeing you guys. I know this show is a little short. I know I'm a little past the hour, but I started off with a couple songs. So we're just going to go ahead and finish it out here. And I will see you guys on Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, this Saturday, live, where you can catch the podcast on many different platforms. Thanks for joining.